Let's come to the Psalm 146, and we'll read these other Hallelujah Psalms, 146 through 150. There are actually two collections of Hallelujah Psalms, those we just read through 118, and then these 146 through 150. He starts off here, Hallelujah. Praise the Eternal, O my soul. Of course, the word praise is Hallel. While I live, I'll praise the Eternal. I'll sing praises to my God while I have any being. Now, apparently, it's needful for man to motivate himself to have the right attitude toward God that he ought to have. So a number of these psalms, you can almost sense a person getting after himself and stirring himself and motivating himself to think about what he owes God and how he should praise God and how he should be responsive and positive toward God. So that's kind of the tone he has here. Hallelujah! Praise the Eternal, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Eternal. While I live, I'll sing praises to my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. There's no salvation in them, the same word salvation or help there. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Real good immortal soul verse. You see what happens to people, princes, sons of men. Their breath goes out, they turn back to dust, their thoughts perish. There's no consciousness in their mind. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Eternal his God. The same blessed or happy, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever. So, over and over and over again, you notice the thing about God is always brought back to creation. That makes God above every other God, because all other gods are created things. So the God that created the things that are made into gods has to really be God. So it always goes back to that. And of course, the Sabbath is a reminder of creation. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein. He keeps truth forever. So not only is the great God to be praised because of what he created, but you can depend on what he says. He keeps truth forever. It doesn't change. He doesn't have to come up with new ideas, new laws, and new doctrines. He keeps truth forever. Another great thing about this God of ours, he executes judgment for the oppressed. He delivers people that are oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Eternal looses the prisoners. People imprisoned to their carnality and their world about them and their false doctrines. The Eternal looses people out of their prisons that have kept them prisoner in the past. So we all were prisoners in the past, you know. And God has brought us out of those prisons. The Eternal opens the eyes of the blind, both spiritually and literally. The Eternal raises them that are bowed down with the earth's bondage and blindness and ignorance. The Eternal loves the righteous. The Eternal preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. Always back to third tithe again. You'll be dumbfounded. You ever go through your Bible and mark all the places it talks about this charity tithe, it's mighty important. When he talks about the Eternal loving the righteous and preserving the strangers, he relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. So the disciples came around, they said, here come these men to turn the world upside down. Well, it's already upside down, so they were turning it right side up. And that's the same way we do. You know, people say, well, that bunch of Armstrong people turns everything upside down. No, we turn it back right side up. The way of the wicked's turned it upside down. The Eternal shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. You know, that is really good news. God's going to reign forever. Our God in Zion, out of his Capitol Hill, is going to reign through all the generations in the future. Hallelujah. It's good to sing praises to our God. It's pleasant, and praise is comely. Now, you know, when I read that, I think right away of Psalm 92, because it told us the same thing. It's good to give thanks. It's good to sing praises. So it's really a treat when you hear little bitty kids in just barely in school go around and what are they singing? They're singing a song, the hymns out of the hymnal off the Sabbath. Our little gals used to walk around and you'd hear them singing and you'd come up behind them and they'd be singing those songs. They'd be playing church and boy, it's good to sing praises to our God. It's pleasant. Praise is comely. Now, why is praise comely? Does God need for you to exalt his vanity to say great things about him? No. It doesn't do God any good. It does you plenty of good. You know, it doesn't make God any taller, or any more powerful, or any greater. The Eternal does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. And when he gathers them together, he's going to bring them back and build up Jerusalem. He's going to heal the broken in heart. He's going to bind up their wounds. He's going to tell the number of the stars. He tells them all by names. You know, God put all those stars, all those planets in their orbit and their sequence together. God has them all put together and put them where man could look at them and observe what they appeared like and give them a name. Great is our Lord, of great power, of his understanding. There's no number, there's no limiting, no comprehending his understanding. The longer you study and think and meditate, the more you deeply see God's understanding and you never get to the bottom of it. His understanding is bottomless. The Eternal lifts up the meek. We read that before too. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Eternal with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp to our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast his food. He gives to the young ravens a cry. He doesn't delight in the strength of the horse, and yet God made the horse with the nature he gave it. God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. Although they can be very swift, the Eternal take pleasure in those that fear him. God would rather see a Christian any day than someone of might or physical prowess. The Eternal takes pleasure in those that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. So you notice, even when you've done something wrong and you're guilty and sad and condemned, and God takes pleasure if your attitude is an attitude of hope in God's mercy. Because that makes God know you really know the way he really is. Praise the Eternal, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, because he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He's going to make you protected and secluded and safe again. He has blessed your children within you, causing you to have a lot of children, and they're safe and happy. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. And that's that Hebrew word for fat, but it means finest. He sends forth his commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. I remember the feast in Squaw Valley the last time I was there, and on the last day, God sent a snow just so the people could enjoy one day of snow. And we didn't have it a foot deep, and we didn't have it the whole time we were there, but God said it like it says he does here, like the wool. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? It can be just chilled to the bone. God can make it so cold. And God can send that ice and hoarfrost and hail and sleet. And he sends out his word. God decrees the will and they're melted away. God causes the wind to blow and those frozen things fall and flow back into water. He shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. Notice over and over and over, you'll never get over that. Everywhere you ever read that God restores His law or gives His law or renews His covenant. It's never just the Ten Commandments. If that's what the Adventists believe, and the Lutherans believe, and the Episcopalians believe, and the Catholics believe, and of course Baptists and Church of Christ do away with all the law, even the Ten Commandments. And that's sad, you know. When God showed His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments, Jacob or Israel, He hadn't dealt so with any nation. No, He didn't give those to Russia or anybody else on earth. Only the nations of Israel have national laws founded on the Bible. He hadn't dealt so with any nations. As for His judgments, they haven't known them. No other nations have known God's judgments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, the Eternal, from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. So when you're in the airplane riding or when you're climbing up in the top of the mountains, also His angels praise Him. All His hosts praise You, Him. The sun and the moon praise God. All the stars of light praise Him. Now it's speaking spiritually or symbolically here by their perpetual, unending rising and motions and purpose and beauty, they praise God. You heavens of heavens, praise Him. You waters that be above the heavens, praise Him. So apparently way out there beyond all the stars, there's still that layer of water that was put out there way back in Genesis, the creation. Let them praise the name of the Eternal, because He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He's made a decree which will not pass. Praise the Eternal from the earth, you dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, they all fulfill God's word. They abide by God's laws. They're of God's doing. Maybe in some ways God uses them to bring to pass His word. Mountains, all hills, fruitful trees, all cedars, beasts, all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Eternal, for His name alone, no other names of any other of these gods, His name alone is to be exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. It's not bound to the earth and heaven. He also exalts the King of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, people near to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing unto the Eternal a new song. Now we go back to those others in the 90s that we ran on to. The new song of victory in the millennium, far exceeding any victory song of Moses. Sing a new song unto the Eternal. Sing His praise in the congregation of saints. There again, it's an assembly, a Sabbath, a holy day. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be full of joy in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp, because the Eternal takes pleasure in His people. You know, you think about that at feast times. I think about that every time you go to the feast and you see God's people in church taking care of their children, in love with each other, man and wife, obeying God, going down with their tithe to place God chooses, if it's 1,500 miles away or 2,500 miles away as it used to be, I'll guarantee you God takes pleasure in His people. And God rejoices to look down and see His people rejoicing, obeying Him gladly, praising His name in the dance, singing praises to God with a timbrel and harp. Now, a lot of people still have a hard time imagining how you praise God's name in the dance. But it's always there in the Bible, and you can't get around it. And it just shows how past teaching gets embedded in your head, and you can't even get brainwashed into the truth. So when people get together at a feast, and they're just really having a good time all because of their obedience to God, God looks down and rejoices with them. God doesn't say, well, look at those silly humans down there having to dance and sing. having to eat and drink. I wish they'd get to be spirit beings like me so they wouldn't have to do all that stuff. That just isn't the way it is, you know. People think spirit beings celebrate some other way, but that isn't true, you know. When the prodigal son came home and the father brought the fatted calf and said, put on the best clothes, put on the ring, they had music and dancing. That's the way the spirit beings rejoice too. You know, when the spirit beings up in front of God's throne celebrate, what do? Well, they sing and dance and eat and drink and have a good time. Well, the Eternal takes pleasure in His people. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Boy, that is beautifying the meek, isn't it? When God just causes you to be born of God because He loves the meek. Let the saints be full of joy and glory. Now look at that. When you get to Glory Land, it isn't going to be harp music and cloud riding, you know. When the saints get to glory, they're going to be full of joy. They're going to sing aloud on their beds. So that's the kind of people God takes delight in, and they wake up in the middle of the night and they're happy, and they're singing about God's great truth and God's great laws and God's great way. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. Boy, all of a sudden, look at the flip-flop there. What's he talking about now? He talked about saints being full of joy and glory and singing aloud on their beds, and now he talks about a two-edged sword in their hand, and notice not his hand, their hand. Saints. That's the antecedent of their hand, the saints. To execute vengeance on the heathen. Punishments on the people, binding their kings with chains, binding their nobles with fetters of iron, executing on them the judgment written. Well, who's going to be doing all of that? This honor have all his saints. That's going to be an honor to have the sharp two-edged sword in your hand. That's God's word. To execute the vengeance written in that Bible on the heathen. To intervene with Christ and bring the punishments on the people, and bind these human kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron. Intervene and take over the kingdom and set up God's rule. You know, that's why Daniel says, the saints shall take the kingdom. Doesn't say it's given to them and everybody knuckles under. It says, the saints shall take the kingdom. And here's how they're going to take it. Executing vengeance on the heathen and punishments on the people. Binding kings with chains and nobles with fetters. Executing God's judgments written in the Bible. That honor have all of his saints. Hallelujah. Boy, that's something to say hallelujah about, you know. That isn't very far off when we're going to be in positions like that as sons of God. Finally, hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So there are all kinds of things. You could make you a list of reasons to praise God. And look at all of these. For his mighty acts. His excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. So God invented and loves music. God isn't so stiff that he only has one instrument that you can only play praise God with a harp and everything else is worldly music. You know, that isn't true. God says you can praise him with the loud cymbals. And then he repeats that as if he knew you weren't going to believe it. Look at that. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Eternal. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Eternal. But when you think about all of these reasons for praising God and reading these aloud on your knees as prayers, it can make you realize all these areas of praise for God and being appreciative of God.